Morning, everyone, again. All right, you probably guessed it, but let's open our Bibles in the book of Philippians. We shall be continuing in our study of the book, Philippians chapter 4. I know it's kind of weird, we started the last chapter, but we'll finish this one, then we'll go back to the first chapter. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 to 9. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 to 9. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us. Thank you for leading us safe to Bible Baptist Church in Cromwell, Lord. I pray that you prepare our hearts and minds as we listen to your word, and also pray that you guide me, Lord, as I deliver your word, and also Brother Ryan, also Pastor later, Lord. Continue to pray, Lord, that you bless the brethren who weren't here or on their way here, Lord. I may continue to guide them. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're back in the book of Philippians, and again, we'll do an introduction about the book of Philippians, because like what Pastor mentioned last Wednesday, the purpose of repetition. I'm going to repeat the introduction, so for the purpose of us remembering it. All right, there's a little history here. If you open our Bibles in the book of Acts, chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Actually, it's just verse 10, but I'm going to go ahead and read verse 6 to 10. This is Paul here on his second missionary journey. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So Philippi is located in it's a city in Macedonia. I don't know if you remember last week we had Brother Mendolas. Remember the song that he played on his recorder? I forgot the name of it. You remember the song? Send the Light. Right. What's the first line of that song? We have heard the Macedonian call today. So that's where the song inspiration came from. And for Brother Mendolas, he heard the Puerto Rican call. So now he's there. And continuing in our verse here, one of the first few converts of this church whom Paul is writing to. Verse 11, Acts chapter 16, Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, that's the city, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, so he's one of the first few converts, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And then the next one, she got baptized in verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If we have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house, abide there, and she constrained us. Another popular convert from the from Philippi is the Philippian jailer. Let's see here in verse 16 and verse 30. So what happened here, Paul got locked down. They caught, pretty much Paul caused a commotion, so they sent him to jail. And now while they were in jail, there was an earthquake. We can see in verse 26. And then in verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought him out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." So they got saved and his household. And you can see it in verse 32. and we go back to our to the book of Philippians. We can see here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, to whom obviously the church was addressed. Philippians chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. "Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons." So including the saints here at Philippi, Lydia and his household, the jailer and his household. And we also knew about Epaphroditus, who's the one who brought the gifts to Paul. And also Euodias and Syntyche. I don't know if you still remember them. They're the two women in chapter 4 who had a bit of a conflict. And Paul told them that they need to be of the same mind. And based on their names, they're most likely Gentiles, and they're from Macedonia. And the purpose of this letter, Paul wants to thank the church for their gifts. At the same time, he also has secondary objectives while writing this letter. That's chapter 2, verse 25. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yeah, we have read this, but this is the purpose of repetition, so we can remember. I'm going to read again. "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." And at the same time, he got sick. Verse 27, "For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." And Paul commanded them in verse 29, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold him in such high reputation." And also, Paul wanted them to be to be of the same mind, the church to be of the same mind. And also in chapter 3, one of his commandments or his teachings is to be aware of their enemies. Let's open chapter 3, verse 2. It says here, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concession." And now going back to our text here, we have learned recently that we have to, in verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. We all know that this is the theme of the book. Now, continuing on that one, Paul says here, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Moderation here means to be mild, to be gentle, to be gracious unto all men. Since Paul here was saying, the Lord is at hand, so make sure you be gracious to one another. And then, the Lord is at hand. When I was younger, when I moved here, I've been hearing a lot of Christians would say, "I hope the Lord comes back tonight," or "I hope the Lord comes back today." But when I've been hearing that same phrase even way back then. But when I was younger, I was like, "But why? Why would you want the Lord to come in today?" Because you were young, you want to do stuff, you want to experience this, you want to go here, you want to do this, you want to do that. But as you grow older, you see how wicked the world is, and now how we have the Russian-Ukraine war. Out of nowhere came the Israel and Palestinian war. Everything's getting expensive. I mean, life's getting tougher. So yeah, as I grew, I realized, you know what? It's right. They are right. I hope the Lord comes back tonight. Because of all the troubles. But we can learn a thing or two from Paul here. We can see his mindset. Let's go to a very familiar verse. Unfortunately, we didn't sing this one today. I don't know why, but yeah. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. I'm going to read to verse 24. Let's see how mindset here, how Paul's mindset, whether he live or die. We all know it. According to my earnest expectation, my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I will not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That is true. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So, with that in mind, yes, if the Lord comes in today, I'll take up to heaven. No more trouble, no more problems, no more sickness or whatever. But at the same time, if we live through Christ, we have a chance to serve other people. So we have the chance to be gracious. We have the chance to be gentle unto other people. So we have to think the positive things, biblically positive things, whether by life or by death. Now let's continue here. Let's go back to our text. Here in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Careful here means to be anxious about. Paul was saying, be anxious for nothing, or don't be anxious about anything. The Philippian church, as Christians, they will face troubles like we do. It was addressed here from verse 27 to 30 of chapter 1. But on this verse, Paul was saying the same troubles that he experienced. Remember when he got in prison, when the church started? The same thing happened to him while he was writing this letter. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 to 30. It says here, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, now here to be in me. Now Christians, it's like the Philippian church, we have the privilege of serving our Lord, believing in our Lord, and suffering for his sake. Now I know it's going to be hard, but the Lord will keep us. That's why Paul was saying here, be careful for nothing. But then again, it's easier said than done, right? I remember a couple of weeks ago when my car broke down. What am I going to do now? I remember Pastor sending me this text today, Philippians chapter 4, I think verse 6 to 9, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, but with my mind or with my heart, you know, our heart is wicked. You may be thinking, but Pastor, you don't know what's going on. I don't have a car. I'm by myself here. What am I going to do? It happens. Different challenges for each and every one of us. Maybe different. Sometimes in our life, same challenges comes back. But sometimes we react differently. Like we know we've been here before, been there, done that. But sometimes we still falter. Because our heart can be wicked, and then at the same time we trust in our own abilities. Now we don't trust in the Lord; we trust in ourselves. Like this happened. Let's say, in my example, my car broke down for a couple of weeks. Mechanic told me you're gonna get in the next day. Called me. Okay, the next day, and then the next day. Like, what's going on here? So, and with my gift, obviously, with the gift of giving. thinking to myself, I'm spending this X amount of money. Now, and I have the temptation, maybe I can miss church, or maybe I was able to miss class because I was told Monday you're going to get the car. I called them, no, you don't have the car, it's not ready yet. And at the same time, I had to take an Uber to go to church. But the temptation, hey, you need to save money. You're wasting money, this and this, this and that. Just listen to the live stream. But then I realized I do the live stream. So I can't listen. But one thing I learned from going to from our pastor, if you listen to his teachings, like especially every afternoon at the book of Job, everything we have is from the Lord. Like then I realized to myself, I'm going to teach this verse one day because I've been planning to continue doing the book of Philippians. And I need to practice what I preach. And at the same time, from what we learned from Job, everything we have is from the Lord. All our resources, even our life, our breath, the car that we got, our family. So I thought to myself, might as well use my resources for the Lord. I know it's something, I'm spending this much money. It can be heavy in my heart. But at the same time, I'm doing it for the Lord. It gives me, I'm not trying to boast up, but I'm trying to overcome because the wickedness of my heart. That with my gift, I want to save money. Amen. But at the same time, I'm violating God's command, forsaking the assembly. It's just one of those things. And I know it's hard, so let's keep on praying with each other, my friend. We have different challenges. Anyway, so we go back to our verse or to our passage. Chapter 4 and verse 7 or verse 6 continuing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So supplication here or prayer, you know, it's an oratory addressed to God. Supplication is a request or petition, and thanksgiving, the Greek word for it is eucharistia. That's where the word Eucharist came. It means grateful, a grateful language towards God. And we can see here in chapter 1, verse 3, that Paul is also thankful to this church. Chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And also, he commanded them that your request being made known unto God. Have you ever experienced, or probably have done, like, there's some things in life that we want, what the Lord wanted, but at the same time, we don't pray for it. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, for example, I need work hours because I have a car. Recently, I've been telling myself, I'll be going to get busy. Holidays coming. July 4th came in. No, our work hours didn't pick up. Labor Day came in, our work hours didn't pick. It's not picking up for some reason. There are weeks where I've been working like less than 30 hours a week. Like I can't survive, no one can survive 30 hours a week if you live here in Connecticut. But at the same time, I know I should be asking the Lord that, but like, meh, the Lord knows, the pride of your heart, like, nah, the Lord knows it, and I'm going to ask about it. Funny thing, last week, when me and Naomi, we tried to pray every day, if we get a chance, for some reason, I just uttered this prayer, like, Lord, can you please, since I have a car, I need payments, or else I'll be leaving my car, I can't pay my rent. I just uttered the Lord, if you can give us work hours. And lo and behold, this week, I work way more than I was expecting than the past few weeks.
Amen.
Like, Maybe it's a God incidence. I don't know. Maybe the Lord answered my prayer. But what I'm trying to say is, whatever it is, whatever small it may be, what Paul has commanded, we should let God know about it. I mean, God is omniscient. He knows what we want. But he still wants us to let him know what we want. And then here's the result of that. If we follow the verse 5 and verse 6, it says here in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word peace here was used based on the Blue Air Bible org. It says here that by definition, the tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. Past all understanding, will keep our hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. The next phrase here, the word keep here, it means to watch over, like a sentinel or standing guard duty. remember when Paul, just like the Philippian jailer, was standing guard for Paul, for the prisoners. this is one important thing that we have as Christians, if we know that we are in the will of God and we're obeying His will. We have that peace of God. Let me give you an example. Back in the Philippines, there was this member for Pastor Aquinson. His name is Brother Oscar. So he's very helpful. He's a very active person, very active in church. We see his fruits of his salvation. But he passed away last week. The thing about Filipino, especially the older generation, is we don't usually go to hospitals, like, unless it's really something crazy going on. Like, if we feel something or they feel something, you just don't go there because it's expensive. Until you're really, unless it's a matter of like kind of like life and death, no, they rarely go to the hospitals. Anyway, so he's been sick for a very long time. He feels something. Then, like last Sunday, when they asked him to pray, he's barely walking. He's with a cane, struggling and all. So finally, he went to the doctor. But then it's too late. When they did an MRI on him, they said he has a liver cancer, and it's in stage 4. And they told him he won't make it this year. And yet, it did. But while he was in ICU, Pastor Quinton was with him, talked to him. And he has confidence. Unlike many Christians, this is what Pastor Quinton says, unlike many Christians or even unsaved, on their deathbed, like, you know, people, they be struggling with it, with death, like, what's going to happen? There's fear. There's anxiety. Some people be bargaining, like, Lord, if you're going to heal me today, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. Yeah, but it's too late. Those things, or even regret, like, I should have done this years and years ago. Should have prepared my estate, this and that. But it's different with him. He has confidence. And the verse he shared, guess what? Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's the peace we got as Christians. Now, with that being said, we can't just keep that peace to us. We need to be sharing that peace to other people. People need, just like Brother Mendolas, he went to a missionary to Puerto Rico. How about our church? We need to be sharing the gospel. Maybe not just here in Connecticut, maybe somewhere. Maybe they'd be open, like what Brother Ryan, the pastor, was saying, everyone is primed to receive the gospel. Now let's go back to our verse or our phrase. Let's go here to verse 8. Now this one thing Paul want them to do, to think on these things and do some things in verse 8 and verse 9. All right, verse 8 here, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. The word think here, the Greek came from the Greek word logizomai. And that's a middle passive. Pastor taught me that last Thursday and last week. So it's from the word logos, word. But on this one, it was used to reckon, to count, compute. So basically, Paul was saying here, count or reckon on these things. Whatsoever that is true, the truth, honest, honorable. And I kid you not, I did not realize that August is also an adjective. You guys know that? I didn't. I just know it this week. I thought August is always a noun. It's like August. Your name after your uncle, right? Yeah, that August means honorable, reverend. I mean, but you can't be named after a noun or the month because you're born in September. Anyway, so yeah, we learn you every day. So what? And then what else? Whatever just or righteous, whatever pure, means innocent, modest or perfect, or chaste, whatever lovely, acceptable. This word right here, lovely and good report, from the Greek word phrospiles and euphemus. This only occurred here in the book of Philippians, never else in the Bible. Lovely means acceptable or pleasing, good report, reputable, or uttering words of good omen. And the other ones, with any virtue, any particular moral excellence, modesty, purity, and praise, laudation, concrete and commendable thing. And Paul wants us to reckon on these things. But we have to be careful. These things, whatever true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, any virtue, and any praise, it has to be biblically. Because the word now, you know how they compromise those meanings. Anything can be lovely for him. Anything can be true. Anything can be honest. let me give you an example. We all know about the Corinthian church and all their troubles. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. This is like one of the not the right way of thinking. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it not so much as name among Gentiles, that no one should have his father's wife. And what did the church do? And ye are puffed up. Like they were proud of it. And have not rather mourned that he had not done this deed, might be taken away from among you. So the church, maybe some of the members in Corinthians, maybe that's a good thing. They got puffed up. Is that the right thing? No, it's not. So we have to be careful about the things that we get puffed up. Another example, Brother Bill, remember that story last Monday when you bought that belt?
Yes,
right?
Yes, you're going to share that with the entire church?
Yeah, it's a good example, brother. Trust me.
Go ahead.
No, anyway, so back in our lesson on Monday, it just came on my mind, so I'm thinking some illustrations.
Go ahead.
Brother Bill went to Bob's store, Berlin Turnpike, bought a $35 belt before, and then he wanted to replace it. Or, because it broke, right?
Yeah.
Yes. See, I can't remember it because when he mentioned $35 belt, I was thinking, I paid $14 for my belt. I would spend because of my gift. I'm thinking, I can buy something cheaper. But anyway, so it's actually a good story. It's actually encouraging. It's related to the class. But what if Brother Bill did something the bad way? He did the wrong way. Let's say he took something. Let's say he took his belt, bring the old one, grabbed
the piece,
replaced it, get a new one, didn't pay for it. And then, just for example, he went to class. And then he boasted, I went to Bob's store, I got a new belt. I didn't pay for it. And imagining us, amen, brother, you saved some money. It might sound good. If outside of church or outside the Bible, it might be sound good. But for us Christians, yeah, it's not a good thing. So we have to be careful. I mean, we have this baggage, some worldly baggage with us. We try not to be boastful, but some of the things that we need to be watchful for. Because some things that we've been doing before we got saved, they got so common that we don't know it's not the right one. I know it's a struggle. I struggle. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we need to keep mindful on those things. Whatever true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, any virtue, any praise. Now the next one, let's go back to our last verse. In verse 8, verse 9, I should say. And I heard Paul was saying to think on these things. These are the things that we would do. He said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Like what Brother Tommy shared when he did his Sunday school lesson, the word do here, from the Greek word prazos, means practice, right? Do it repetitiously, like religiously doing it. So you habitually. So don't be just doing the things that we learn, or from what Paul was telling the Philippian church that they learned, that they received, they heard and seen, just to do it. Not once, but do it habitually. And what's the result of that one? And the God of peace shall be with you. Pretty much the same in verse 6 and 7. This like a correlation. Like be careful for nothing. If you did everything in prayer, in supplication, thanksgiving, and your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Just some of the things here that I want to share. What Paul thought to the church. And now he's reminding them again throughout this letter. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says here, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. We have learned that. It's also in chapter 4. To write the same things to you, to me indeed it is grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. The concision here, Paul was referring to the Jews. They're the ones who've been telling pretty much to the Gentiles, okay, in order for you to be saved, you had to get circumcised. That is not what Paul thought. That's not what the gospel is about. Salvation is accepting Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and repentance for our sins. And also, be of the same mind. It's like what he commanded Euodias and Syntyche here in chapter 4, verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And also be aware of their adversaries that we read in verse 1 and also here in verse 8. But I'm going to start reading here in verse 17. Paul says here, brethren, be followers together with me and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So these are just some of the things that Paul taught the church. So Paul, in conclusion, he was telling here, if we think and do these things, then the God of peace shall be with us. Yeah, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. Thank you for your word, Lord. I continue to pray to bless our service this whole day, Lord. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.